Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Delicious Podcast book series, featuring some of the best-known food names in the UK. I'm Julie Smith, and this week I'm with Taiwanese-born Ching Hei Huang, known to most of her fans simply as Ching, who, with TV legend Ken Hong, has become the word on Chinese cooking through her prolific and award-winning TV appearances and books. In a minute, she talks to me about her latest book, Wok On, with a masterclass in wok cuisine. But she also talks about conscious cooking and the yin and yang of food in a really thoughtful discussion of what, to her, Chinese food is really all about. The Delicious Book Series is sponsored by the ethical online bookshop, hive.co.uk. Buying our books online is probably far more convenient for most of us, but we do need to look after our small bookshops and our high street, and Hive gives us the option to pop into our local bookseller to pick it up, have a bit of a chat with people, and maybe spend a little longer in the real world. But if you can't get there in person, they'll give a percentage of the commission to the bookshop anyway. I'll give you the discount code, which you can use for any book you buy through Hive, at the end of this episode. And you can follow Hive on Facebook for recommendations and discounted offers and giveaways. But first, I asked Ching why, in a country which loves Chinese cooking, we find it so hard to cook it ourselves.
I think people have this misconception that it's complicated, but actually it's not at all. It's methodology. So I think there's some diehard Chinese fanatics out there who have kept Ken's career and mine alive. So thank you to those. And I think they appreciate that once you've broken down, you know, the methodology of doing a great stir fry or, you know, a great braising dish, you can feed your family easily. But for some, you know, and a lot of people out there, it's still hard to get around the notion. They think, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. And it's just about having the confidence, really, and the understanding. And I think, to be honest, not enough is shared about it.
It's not on culinary curriculums for most chefs. Sarah's Todorwala is trying to do something very important about that by trying to get it on the agenda.
You know, I love Cyrus. I love his work. His food is amazing.
It is.
And I applaud him for trying to get that on the curricula, because I think, you know, Chinese food has so much to offer. Our cuisine is about sharing. It's about making lots of different dishes and then eating within the seasons. There's a lot of beauty in Chinese cuisine, especially the philosophy. It's sustainable. It's all about whatever is in season. And it's also about health. Because, you know, traditionally we believe that food is medicine and that it nourishes you. So there's all these beautiful aspects. And actually, in its simplest form, you know, a bit of oil, a bit of garlic, ginger, chili, and some cabbage in season, stir
fry. And your spring onions, your awesome foursome.
Oh, my awesome foursome. And sprinkling of spring onions. You know, just makes cabbage, you know, sexy and delicious. Mm. And you get to really taste the true flavour of cabbage too.
Yeah.
And that's what we aspire to in Chinese cuisine.
Yes.
It's not masking these flavours. It's bringing each of the ingredients alive.
Yeah. Now, I imagine that whenever there are a lot of ingredients, people go, oh, God, I don't know my way around that. But there is also a language. Mm-hmm. You use the word aromatics, which is something that we now know because Middle Eastern food is about aromatics as well. You're using the language of other cuisines that we may be a little bit more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that you do. You break it down, you make it much easier. But actually, if you look through the ingredients list, I'm thinking of Ottolenghi. He's well known for using lots of ingredients, until simple, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's not that difficult, is it? And I wonder if, and here we get onto the wok, I wonder if it is about having to prep in advance and everything being so quick and you have to get it right at that time. I wonder if that's what's so frightening about Chinese food.
Yes, I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think first, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people have a wok. And so it, at its simplest form, you can chuck everything in, do a stir fry, and it'll taste great. But what we're trying to do is trying to inspire another level, you know, to really become a master of the wok so that it becomes second nature. But I think that's with any hobby that you take up or any, you know, a cuisine that you take up. And it's just having no fear about it. No stigma before you approach it. And it is about timing. But, you know, once you master the steps, which is so simple, which is, you know, getting the wok hot, adding oil, aromatics, then your proteins, and then, you know, noodles, whatever, or rice, and then the seasoning at the end, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It's just these steps, and it's just about layering the flavors. So I always tell people, don't chuck it all in at once and then add a whole lot of seasoning. Try and layer and give each ingredient the time it deserves in the wok. Yeah. Don't do anything else. Just have your wok, heat a bit of oil, bit of garlic and ginger chili and spring onion if you have, and then add, you know, whatever vegetables you like. Look, broccoli, start with that, you know, 10% broccoli or mushrooms or courgettes, and just stir fry that until it's tender. That with a bowl of rice, I tell you, it's so satisfying. So if you can only manage that, just do it.
Just do it.
I do try and, you know, make it as simple as possible. And I think it's really, you know, trying to approach it and see. So that's why I love TV in a way, because I love to. It's like a magic trick. It's like, you know, showing them, right, this is what you can do. And this is, you can cook in real time.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Chinese cuisine. You can do it in 5 minutes.
Well, and I did last week at the Dorchester at Chinatown with Ken Hom.
Oh,
we got him into the kitchens there. But, you know, and I know that you did Exploring China with him. And, you know, watching those programs again, it's a fierce world. There's big fire. There's, you know, it's very quick.
Yes.
And I imagine that's absolutely terrifying for the rather unconfident cook.
Yes, you know, that can be, but it's not like that at home. I try and make it as easy and accessible as possible, you know, and you can cook on your electric hob. You know, I cooked for almost 60 people last night in Chorley Wood, and they had one of those electric hobs with one of those dials.
Oh, my God.
And let me tell you, the dish came out beautifully.
Oh, of course it did.
You know, it's whatever hob you have, you know, whatever wok you have, just get into the journey.
And you talk about the breath of the wok. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
So the breath of the wok is important to Chinese cooking. In China, we call it guo wei, or in Cantonese, that is the good Sir Ken Hom would say, it would be wok hei. And it's about the food cooking on the on the heat, but being able to sort of absorb the slight smokiness that comes from cooking on high heat, from the searing of the food, and that then injecting into the food, and you can really taste it. But really, in the restaurants, on such high heat, what the chefs can do in the large wok is to maneuver it in a way where the flames sort of lick and come over the edges of the wok and inject the breath that way, you know, the fire, the flame, the smoke. And so it's that beauty, that that dance, you know, of the cooking process.
And the other thing, I suppose, is that it's a different kind of cooking. You know, I love to cook for a long time, have a glass of wine or two with my friends all around. You know, that's not what this is it? It's very quick, and it's on the table, hot and steaming and delicious and aromatic.
Yes, and I mean, this is quick cooking. If you're talking about stir frying, absolutely. But I mean, this book, you know, Wok On also celebrates the versatility of the wok. I wanted to show that you can also braise, because not many people think about braising. You know, a quick 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you can make delicious pork. You just let it slow cook, you know, bubbling away. You don't even need to stir or worry about the timings of things. So there's a lot of more gentle cooking. You can also steam as well, which is awfully healthy. And if you can steam in a pan, you can also steam in a wok.
Yes.
You know.
So let's break it down. So this, I think, is the absolute crucial point of this book. I haven't really thought about braising in a wok before, mm-hmm. or steaming, or even using that rack that came with my wok so mm-hmm. long ago. I don't even know where it is anymore. So let's talk about braising first of all. Mm-hmm. Let's take one of mm-hmm. the recipes.
Yes. There's hong shao rou, which is great. This is one of my favorites.
Chen and Ma's favorite, apparently.
Yes. This is in Chinese cooking, if it's a dish cooked in 20 minutes, it's a quick braise. If it's longer, we call it luo, which is a longer braise. Okay, about 45 minutes. This dish takes about 45 minutes. It's red cooked, just hong shao is the Mandarin word. And it basically gives the description of the ready brown color of using a good quality soy sauce. Mm. In this one, we use dark soy sauce, coupled with sugar. Now, this the magic of those two ingredients.
Well, you can see I'm
caramelizing
it on the train, thinking, "Oh my god,
it's very good!" And then with some spices, it hails from the Zhenjiang region in China, which is near Shanghai. But actually, this kind of style of cooking is found all over China. Mm. And so, in this particular recipe, I fuse a bit of dry chilies and Sichuan pepper to give it a little heat. But if you don't like that, you don't have to add it.
Yeah.
But it's honestly, you just make sure the pork is like blanched, you know, like lightly poached gently for half an hour. Mm. Then you take it out, and that just helps the tenderizing process and it gives it clean pork taste, getting rid of the scum beforehand. Mm. Then you slice it up, then you put it in the wok. You add stock, you add your spices, you know, the star anise, the Sichuan pepper, you add a little bit of ginger, a good quality dark soy, sugar, and you just let that bubble away for 40 minutes.
It can taste it now.
Honestly, that with some rice and just some steamed vegetables is such a simple dish. And I always say if you want to get into Chinese cooking, just try with that one dish and keep trying. You might not get it the first time, but keep trying. And if you hit the jackpot with that one dish, you'll fall in love and give you the confidence to try other dishes.
Is there anything about the shape of a wok? I mean, could you do that in any normal casserole or a saucepan on the hob?
So with this dish, what would happen is because of the wide base, you will lose a lot of the liquid.
Right.
And so here, the shape of the wok is important because you've got a small, shallow base, very deep sides, if you have a good wok, that is, yeah? And what I mean by good wok, you don't want wide base and very shallow sides because that's a saucepan masquerading as a wok. It's a fake wok. You don't want fakeness. We want small base, deep sides, and that is important because what that does is all the food falls equally into the center, the liquid covers it all, and you're able to get uniform cooking, right, without too much of the liquid escaping. And with the shape and also the material of the wok being carbon steel is key because it retains the heat, it heats up quickly, and you're going to get that even cooking.
Yeah. Let's talk about steaming. I love the way you talk about food, so I'm just going to ask you about another recipe. Steaming, again, is not something that I have ever done in a wok, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the principle of it and take us through one particular recipe.
Okay. So steaming is wonderful. It's really one of the major schools of of wok cooking. It allows, you can steam dim sum, little dumplings. You can steam fish at its, simplest, or vegetables. And what it does is, it's gentle cooking, and you're able to soften the ingredient without too much harsh sort of smoke or heat or fire. So it's beautiful. If you have a wok, the simplest is a bamboo steamer. Okay, and you get them in all the supermarkets, and they're cheap as anything. Yeah, cheapest bag of chips. Really.
And Chinese supermarkets, they're seriously cheap.
Absolutely. And what you do is, the best thing is, if you also have a stainless steel rack, which you talk about, it's great to set that on the wok, and they'll have holes, pour the water in, then lay your steamer. I say that, why? Because a lot of people just pop the steamer on the wok, and it just burns the outer edges of the bamboo steamer, which is not going to make it last long. But hey, look, it doesn't matter if you don't have that steamer rack. It just helps. It just helps. And then, of course, lid on. Make sure it fits snug, so you're going to retain all the steam coming from the base. And, of course, you can use greaseproof paper, and you can put a beautiful piece of fillet, cod or halibut, sea bass, whatever you like, surrounded by lots of veggies, lay some ginger slices on top, and it's just so simple and delicious. And then lid on and steam that for 10 minutes, and it's done, and the flesh is beautifully moist. I know people are obsessed with caramelization and all of that, but what you could do is, once that's steamed, you can keep it in the steamer hot, and then you can just wipe out the wok, get rid of the water, add a little bit of oil, some garlic, ginger, chilies, your favorite bean paste, whether it's yellow bean paste or chili bean paste or hoisin if you like, or a combination of all of them, or a little bit of oyster sauce, rice wine. Rice wine is so important. It just draws, it's bitter, so it draws out the sweetness of any ingredient. Mm. And then add some light soy, dark soy if you like, a little bit of five spice, and you can make a delicious sauce. It's really easy home comfort cooking, and then you can just pour that onto the fish and have it with some rice or noodles if you like.
With not a lot of washing up.
And that is so simple. Yeah.
And of course the recipes come from all over the world. Kimchi. How does kimchi fit with Chinese?
Kimchi comes from Korea. Actually, the white cabbage, the Napa cabbage, we call the Chinese leaf, came from Shandong and through to Korea. And, it's so prominent, pickling, fermenting, that part of the world is awfully healthy. But these ingredients were cooked in a way to, preserve, as a way of preserving what was in season at the time. And little do we know that these fermented foods that were so popular over the centuries is actually really good for the health, really good for the gut. And so kimchi, and this art of pickling, it's found all across Asia, even in my country in Taiwan. My grandmother would do a quick pickle, pao zao, which means to give, for example, whatever vegetables a quick bath, if you like, in what is rice vinegar, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, and that's it. So simple. Sometimes a little bit of dry chili infused in there, and a little touch of white spirit. So baijiu, rice wine, also gave it a really delicious, gave it a different dimension. Mm-hmm. And so you can just experiment, and the longer ferments, you could do long ferments, you could do short ferments, whatever you feel and whatever you want to get out of it. So it's fantastic, and I love it. And when you make a dish and you want to bring it alive, nothing tastes better than a little bit of, kimchi on top of a good fried rice. And you just mix that in. Or a little bit of sauerkraut. I'm obsessed with sauerkraut now. My German friends always bring me what they fermented. And, just a little bit laced through, a delicious noodle chow mein. Honestly, it gives a lovely sour briny note that's aromatic and so zingy. It just gets the taste buds going, and I love it. It's so good for you, and I can't, promote it enough that we need to do more our own ferments. Even if you start with an easy little cucumber, baby cucumbers, chopped up, add a little bit of Sichuan pepper, some cider vinegar, a little bit of sesame oil, a little bit of touch of salt, and then just give that a little mix. Honestly, 10 minutes while you do your stir-fried dish, just pop that over the top, and it's so delicious.
After the break, we hear why Chinese cooking lends itself so easily to veganism.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The first part of the book is vegan. I know your husband is vegan. Yes. Is that why you gave so much space to vegan recipes? I mean, there's just so much stuff.
You know, yes, my husband is vegan, and he went a few years ago, turned vegan. Whatever food that you are into, whether meat, fish, or veggie lover, and of course we're always told to eat more veggies because it's got more fiber and it's good for you. Chinese vegetarian cooking, if you like, most of the time, if you don't add egg, it is vegan because we don't use dairy. And so it's really important, you know, to get your 5 a day and your 10 a day. It's so good for you. And I've got an array. I've got like 50 recipes, you know, bursting full of deliciousness, you know, whether it's a curry. I mean, this particular book has influences from all the places that I've traveled. So Malaysia, Hong Kong, Thailand.
Yeah.
So a little bit of everything, but I wanted to make it accessible and celebrate the versatility of the wok. But, you know, for example, saucy mushroom ginger tofu stir fry.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so easy and delicious, and it just uses all your usual store cupboard ingredients. So, you know, light soy, dark soy, chili bean paste, oyster sauce. Once you have an array of these, you can be like a cocktail mixologist, making your you know, laser flavor, your different flavor combinations, whether it's hot and sour, sweet and sour, savory sour, you know, yeah, the world is your oyster sauce. You can just, you know, play around and create your own sauces.
Now tell me about oyster sauce, because this is the one that you pick out as your cook hack. This is the secret ingredient that people cannot do without of all the amazing ingredients in Chinese cooking. Why oyster sauce?
You know, I find that oyster sauce, and of course if you're vegan or vegetarian, use mushroom sauce. There is that in the shelves as well, in the supermarket shelves. You know, oyster sauce is this beautiful ingredient where it just wraps around meat or fish, whether it's chicken or beef or fish. It's so versatile. It's that umami seafood sweetness that comes through, and it just brings out the glutamates and the richness of those proteins, and it's such a beautiful sauce that, you know, I can't imagine not cooking with it. It's incredibly versatile. For example, you could make a ginger chicken mushroom braise dish with oyster sauce and a bit of stock and just let the chicken slowly cook. And so it's like a stew almost. And then you just put that on rice and it's awfully good. And just some spring onions, you know, in there. And that is, it's a beautiful, beautiful dish. Simple home cooking.
Yeah. And the other thing, of course, is we referred to it before as the awesome foursome. So the holy trinity, as we all know, is garlic, chili and ginger.
Yes.
Now, you add spring onions and call it the awesome foursome. It's not classic Chinese food.
Well, this awesome foursome is in some dishes, but it's not sort of in every single Chinese dish. And this is something that I'm trying to introduce in people's minds, is that, you know, in one dish, try and maximize the amount of nutrition you're also going to get into the dish. And so garlic, ginger, chilies, these are amazing antifungal, antibacterial. And I know that may sound a little bit boring, but it's so good for your gut, so good for your health. And that's something we're learning about now. And then when you add spring onions in, I mean, why not? While you're chopping garlic, ginger, chili, why not just throw some just spring onions in it too?
And
it's so delicious.
Pretty,
aren't
they?
And they give a nice onion bite, you know, sweetness to the dish. So just do it.
let's talk about the health. Now, it feels to me that the national conversation is about veganism, it's about high welfare meat, if you're going to eat meat at all, hashtag less but better, saving the planet. But health is at the core of it, you know, gut health. It feels like all the conversations are sort of, you know, dovetailed into this moment where we've kind of finally got it. But actually, Chinese medicine has been talking about this forever.
It has. And it's something that I try and make sure that in terms of my recipes, they are balanced in taste, but also they've got to try and deliver some sort of nutrition too, so that we are conscious about not being too much in sugar or sodium, which Chinese food can be. If you add too much soy sauce, you know, and it's just being conscious. And I'm glad that we are having this conversation. I think it's so important that when we go into a supermarket and we look at all the array, the thousands of products on the shelves, and a lot of them are packaged, all you truly need is that section in the fresh fruit, meats, fish section. That is the bit that's really going to sustain you. So it's also thinking about our planet and about incorporating more grains in as well, because that is so key. And I mean, put it this way, Chinese have really had food scarcity for a long time, and it's horrible. And we dealt with it by this philosophy of sharing whatever and cooking whatever is in season, and very minimalist cooking. And eating mainly 80% veggie and 20% good quality meat or fish. You know, my father was a pig farmer and they didn't eat the pigs because they were bred for sale. But all he'd have sometimes a little bit of soy, a little bit of lard and on rice. And that sustained him. So being just very frugal with every ingredient, not wasting, and celebrating vegetables, you know, 80% of the time, and a little bit of meat or fish, good quality. That will make sure that our oceans also have an opportunity to, replenish. And this is such an important conversation. I always say to my friends, think about it. If all the Chinese population ate how we do in the West, and I mean, you know, one fillet of fish per person a day, right? Or two eggs and two sausages and some beans every day. 1.6 billion times by two, that's 3.2 billion. It's just not sustainable. So we, of course, we have, you know, congee, like sweet corn congee or rice congee and some pickles and veg. And then the fried egg, which we share, you know, two fried eggs which share between four people. Everyone just has a bite. That is so key, and even more key now. And, you know, even us Chinese, you know, in China, across Asia, we forget that because, you know, we want more. We want to eat more meat. You know, it's a sign of wealth and it's a sign of success. But honestly, we can't eat the planet to death. Because the Chinese believe yin and yang. Humanity must live in line with nature. Otherwise, there is no planet. You know, whilst we're conscious about the planet, I personally also feel it's very important that we approach cooking with love. And it seems such a basic thing, but if you think about it, we are energy beings. And I've tested this before. You know, we've cooked, like, for example, my grandmother's recipes 100 times. Zongzi, this sticky glutinous rice that we have for Zongqiujie, which is Dragon Boat Festival every year. No one in the family can recreate the flavors. And, you know, we think the missing ingredient is her energy, is her love.
How lovely.
And we need that because a lot of food is just plastic or out of a box or microwavable or meals that people get and they don't think about it. But that step of making the food, putting your love into it, I feel is... You know, we can't measure it, but I really believe that that is what makes the difference between, you know, an okay dish and an outstanding dish.
I'm with you. Ching's Conscious Cooking, your next book.
And if you want to buy Ching's book, walk on, visit hive.co.uk and use the discount code DELICIOUS10 to get your 10% off. And you can hear that cook up with Ken Hom in the Christmas series coming very soon to the Delicious podcast. And you can listen to all the episodes at deliciousmagazine.co.uk/stories/podcasts. I'll be back next week with a real legend in British food culture, Fergus Henderson, who brought nose to tail to the way we cook.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.